Welcome to Between Heaven and Earth, an internet radio talk show where we help you connect spirit and divine guidance. Lisa Kay, your host, brings you shows that can enhance and transform your life with tips and new ideas for more happiness, abundance, and better relationships. Lisa is an expert on intuition and can show you how to strengthen your inner guidance to empower yourself. Each show is positive and uplifting to inspire your day. Her guest speakers are specialists on self-help, positive thinking, spirituality, and conscious living. Be the best that you can be with Between Heaven and Earth, conscious living for your soul.
Between Heaven and Earth, it's a weekly radio show where just by listening, you can get ideas on how to improve your life. And we're also on Facebook Live at facebook.com/betweenheavenandearth. So if you'd like to ask a question of our guest, just type it in the show post there and we'll answer it. I know that a lot of you often listen on the archives, and that's great too. So if you have, but if you ever have a question, you can always post it to the Facebook page on facebook.com/betweenheavenandearth. And our show today is called Experiencing a Spiritual Awakening. Could you be having a spiritual awakening? Mary Mueller Schutan has written a pragmatic and simple guide for those of us who are going through a spiritual transformation. And Mary's going to talk to us today about what a spiritual awakening actually is. And you might be surprised that you may have already had the symptoms. Her book, The Spiritual Awakening Guide, is a comprehensive resource that can guide you on a variety of spiritual awakenings. And Mary is going to show us the process of awakening, the different kinds of spiritual awakenings, from mild to dramatic, and what you might experience. Mary Mueller Schutan is an acupuncturist, herbalist, craniosacral therapist, zero balancer, and spiritual healer. And she has helped hundreds of people worldwide navigate their spiritual awakenings and psychic abilities through her programs and consultations. Welcome, Mary. I'm very happy to have you here today on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic. I think sometimes the word spiritual gets a little confusing for people. I was at an expo in Massachusetts, back in November, and with my co-author, we were promoting our book, Grow Your Spiritual Business. And it was interesting. We actually had a couple people come up and ask us, "What do you mean by spiritual?" So I'm going to ask you that question. You know, what is your definition of a spiritual awakening?
So in terms of a spiritual awakening, you're right, it has become one of those buzzwords that almost can mean a lot of different things. In terms of my definition, it is really somebody becoming aware of something larger than themselves. So it can just be a feeling of faith for a particular spiritual path, or it can just be a sensation of kind of being out there in nature and being aware that there is more than yourself out there. And perhaps there's more than kind of you guiding yourself through your life. So that would kind of be my basic definition.
So guiding, okay. And, you know, some of the people that I have met along the quote path, the spiritual path, have had what they would say would be call a spiritual transformation, a transformative experience. So what could you tell us about what that might be in terms of, say, a common transformative experience, and how does it transform people?
You know, transformative experiences can, in kind of the spiritual arena, can look like pretty much a huge amount of things, but generally what happens for people is that they have some sort of experience, and it could be out in nature or in a cafe or just all of a sudden or at a meditation retreat or wherever, where they suddenly get a glimpse into kind of who they truly are, or some sort of depth within themselves, or some sort of realization about the universe or spirit or whatever you want to call it, and having this sudden sort of irrevocable moment allows for them to transcend a lot of their barriers. So people who have these experiences all of a sudden will be like, you know, I used to feel really blocked, like I couldn't move forward in my life, and all of a sudden I'm moving forward at rapid speed. Or I used to understand things this way, and all of a sudden, you know, my perspective is much larger, or I no longer understand things in that way. So it really is an opportunity for people who have had these experiences to kind of open up and become kind of more than what was kind of restricting them or what might have been in the way before. And in a pretty rapid speed, sometimes people will have an experience that's like 30 seconds and they'll be like, whoa, what happened?
Oh, so it doesn't have to be that long. It could be something quick. Now, you were talking about having sort of a realization. Could it be, could it just be an epiphany? You know, someone's going along in life and all of a sudden they realize, oh, wow, you know, I've had... Oh, let's see if I could think of something. You know, I've been looking at people the wrong way. Yeah, maybe one might be that I could think of is that, you know, you're thinking that people are, somebody might be so withdrawn or, you know, and realize, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not being criticized and judged as much as I thought I was. And then it shifts the way they look at people. Would that qualify?
Yeah, that certainly would. So I would kind of separate it out into two categories. The first being that somebody does have a sudden realization of, oh, I was walking around on this earth feeling like I was a victim, or feeling like because of my childhood, this, and this were true. And that doesn't have to be that way. I can heal. I can move forward. I no longer have to have the same beliefs that I used to, or that my parents gave me, or that society gave me. I can transcend those. And the other experience is more of kind of a being experience, like somebody looking out at the night sky and feeling really connected. So that's kind of...
I like the connected thing.
Yeah, so that's one of those spiritual realizations, too, that people have, where all of a sudden they're so changed because they realize that they're a part of something larger. It's not just kind of them struggling through their lives. There's some sort of force out there or something larger than them that they are a part of or that's guiding them.
You know, I think I kind of see a couple sides to it. I guess there's... Well, let's start with this side. The first side is, you know, wanting to have the experience, which I do. And because I think, you know, who wouldn't want the epiphany and the change to something better? And then perhaps the other side is, oh, it's happened to me and some weird things are going on and I don't know what's happening. But let's take the first one, which is, and I'll kind of share a little story with you and everybody. And I had actually talked to you about it prior to our show, but I had the opportunity to talk at a seminary college where I was talking to students who were learning how to become ministers and priests and reverends and so on. And so I'm in the class, and I thought I'd ask them a question. And one of the questions I asked was, you know, what made you decide to become a priest? And I really fully expected people to say things like, well, I want to help people. I feel that, you know, God is important in my life and I want to bring God to everybody so that they can have a good life as well. And that's nothing like what anybody said. Nobody said that. What they did say, what every single one of them said, it's because they had a mystical experience. They had a mystical spiritual experience. And I was shocked. And some of them shared them with, because I was curious. Now I want to know, well, what is it, you know? And some of them, and I'll have to say this with, you know, some of the people, the bishops at my church has even mentioned that to me too, that he went through the same thing, every single one of them. And it was in some of those cases where reality shifted and they either felt, heard, or knew that there was more out there than themselves, and that they were actually hearing that the messages, or hearing God, or experiencing it, and experiencing something that was just so phenomenal, that was beyond words, that they had, and they got more, they got messages, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then I was a little jealous. Because I've never had an experience like that. I kind of wanted something like, not that I want to be a priest or a reverend, yeah, but that I wanted to know what it is to know God, or to know what's beyond us, that, you know, that higher understanding. So what, for people like myself who haven't had one, can you go get it? Is there a process that you can go through where you could have one of those things? Have you run into anybody like that?
So I have run into people that were like, this was what I was looking for, and you know, they've kind of worked towards it or gone towards it, and they've certainly had spiritual experiences. I will say that, you know, some people, for a variety of complex reasons we don't need to go into necessarily, are more kind of attuned or more kind of headed towards those experiences than other people.
Is there a process you can go through? If somebody says, "Oh, I, like me, you know, I want to have an experience like that."
Yeah.
So what would you suggest?
You know, the simplest way that people can really experience this is a state of being. So, by that I mean is that we're so swamped by our kind of ordinary lives and by stress and by that we don't really ever get a chance to connect to something larger than ourselves. So the easiest way to do this is actually to go out into nature for a period of time and do something like, you know, it sounds so simple, but hang out with, you know, trees or look up at the night sky.
So that's like
really get this sense of something larger.
That first step. So that's like the first, it sounds like the first step.
It is.
Yeah. And, well, we're going to go to break right now, but when we come back, let's continue this, because I'm sure there's a few more steps that you can share with our listeners. Thanks, Mary. We'll be right back.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And welcome back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth, and we are talking about spiritual awakenings and what they are. And my guest is Mary Mueller-Schutten, and we were talking about, if you haven't had one, how do you get it? Is there? And I think, Mary, the first thing you were saying was to go out and in nature. Is there a step or a process? I mean, I know, I guess people do spiritual practices and so on. But it's, you said the first thing is nature. Are there other things people can do to, you know, commune with spirit, have that transcendent experience happen?
You know, I'd love to be able to say, you know, nature really is one of the easiest access points. And I'll say that is because you can get a taste of something larger than yourself in going out and really communing with nature, really being with nature. Other than that, if somebody does want to have a spiritual experience or go kind of traverse more deeply on their spiritual path, they are things that are not necessarily easy to acquire or go out and do. So developing a meditation practice, and there are so many different types and styles of meditation, but really doing something that resonates with you, and it's something that could be simple, like 5 minutes a day, but that will allow for you to access parts of yourself that are able to commune in a more kind of spiritual way. And the other thing, as you mentioned, I'm a craniosacral practitioner, and there are spiritual workers and craniosacral practitioners like myself that are out there that can help for you to access kind of your spiritual nature, as well as to facilitate some of these more spiritual experiences. So those are kind of the steps that I would suggest to people if people wanted to deepen their spiritual path or have kind of a spiritual experience.
Okay, great. Those are good points to start out, nature. And I think people, you know, build, either they have some faith that they follow or they build their own. And I think something within us biologically leads us to the things that we need to have those spiritual experiences. I haven't had the you know, the huge hit you in the face kind of thing, but I've had a lot of little ones, which are, I think that's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, where you can have an epiphany or an understanding and that changes you. And maybe that's a better way to kind of ease into it. I love the brain science stuff. You know, that's where I'm from. That's the, you know, my background in psychobiology. And there's a book called How God Changes Your Brain: Breakthrough Findings from a Leading Neuroscientist. And this was written by Andrew Newberg, N-E-W-B-E-R-G. And one of the things he said, which I thought was fascinating, and now what he does is he studies people having these, I think having these, who have had these experiences. And I haven't, you know, full disclosure, I haven't read the book completely yet, but listening to him, one of the things he said that was fascinating to me was that if you don't believe in God or you don't believe in the spiritual thing, that you will probably never have a spiritual experience, which maybe could be obvious, but, you know, have that transformative, you know, awakening. But he did say that, you know, those people who do believe it seem to have those experiences more often. So I thought that was interesting. I'd like to share that. How about people who are going through a spiritual transformation, a spiritual awakening? What kinds of things do they experience?
Yeah, and so before I go into that, I'd like to make the point of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people really do look for these huge spiritual experiences. So they want a Kundalini awakening. They want something that's dramatic. And they go out and look for it, and that's what they kind of term or define a spiritual awakening is. But in terms of a spiritual awakening overall, it can be that sensation of going to a Reiki class and feeling energy in your body for the first time and
realizing
you're not just a physical being. It can be looking up at the night sky. So those are all parts of kind of the spiritual path. And sometimes people can kind of neglect the more gradual path because we love those big kind of dramatic experiences, at least until we have them.
Mm-hmm.
But there really is a huge range and a whole entire spiritual journey that I go over in my book. And so a lot of people might be having a spiritual awakening, and they might not realize it because it's not this huge, loud thing. They just feel like more connected, maybe more synchronicities. That's typically in the beginning. And people will just become more aware and aligned in their truth as kind of the spiritual process goes on. And so what typically happens is that people on a spiritual path or people going through a spiritual awakening will start to release or process trauma or blockage. So basically beliefs, understandings, realizations, even, physical experiences through their physical body and release them so they can become more free as well as more in line with who they truly are. And so there's this whole shedding process that happens where people begin to really question deeply their relationship to themselves as well as,
That can be a little scary, don't you think?
It can, especially when you go into the more dramatic experiences where right. It happens kind of at rapid speed and people don't know what's going on.
There can
be a lot of physical symptoms as well as emotional, as well as just, I have no idea what's going on. I've been to this many doctors and all of them say that they can't find anything, but I feel like something is really happening here. So that happens to a lot more people than people
really
kind of realize.
What's the most common thing that people go through physically?
People with the more dramatic experiences, such as Kundalini awakenings, they are surprisingly physical. And if you don't know enough about the spiritual process, you don't realize that it's also an emotional, a mental, and a very physical process. So in Kundalini awakenings, people will twitch through their body. They might get headaches, spine pain, back pain, and they might actually move into like yoga-like yoga postures spontaneously. And so if you have never had a spiritual experience before, you only have like a really surface level understanding of what Kundalini might be, if you're moving around all the place, you're going to be freaked out and go through
it's like, why is that happening? I don't know. I'm not doing it. It's doing it to me. Can you define Kundalini for our listeners?
Yeah. And so Kundalini is an energy, and in most people it's latent, just meaning that it's within all of us. But for some people it awakens, and what it is that it's cosmic energy. And so classically what it does is that it arises out of dormancy, out of basically sleep, and goes up your entire spine. So it's kind of located at the bottom of the spine and goes upward and kind of clears everything in its path. And what it does is that it's a huge clearing process. But it also is a deeply connecting process because it is cosmic energy. And so what it does is that it connects you to your own kind of cosmic nature as well as kind of cosmic sort of flow, as I'll call it, overall.
So can you tell the difference between a real sort of spiritual experience versus, something that's not?
Yeah, it's typically pretty easily seen as well as just somebody listing their symptoms and what they're going through. So I have a lot of people contact me about their spiritual experiences, and some people, just because they've heard the term Kundalini and it's kind of a buzzword these days.
It is. It's a big buzzword.
They'll think they're going through a Kundalini awakening, and they might not be. They might be going through another spiritual experience, but based on symptoms as well as kind of someone like myself looking at kind of what's going on in their life, what they're telling me, as well as their energy field, it's pretty obvious when somebody has a huge amount of active energy in them versus if they're going through a more gradual process.
And what does it feel like? A Kundalini awakening, or
It feels like a huge, a lot of people call it a volcano for good reason. It's essentially like a volcano or a freight train running through you, at least at first, when it's kind of in its more active cycle.
When you say through you, and I've heard a little bit about this, it's something that goes up along your back, your spine, or?
So it's located kind of at the bottom of your spine, and when it awakens, it typically erupts. So the first pathway that it will go up is basically up your spine and clearing out your chakra system. Mm. So it'll go all the way up to the top of your head, and then it might do the same pathway again, or it might go through your legs or arms or rest of your body.
So it can happen several times?
Yeah, cool. So a Kundalini awakening is actually a permanent experience.
Really?
So, yeah, so people who have had it, it's a permanent awakening of that energy. Is it necessarily always going to be as dramatic as kind of the explosion stage? No, but it really is something that's always there.
So what do you tell people who are going through or having these experiences? What would you tell people that they should do first, or, you know, as they're going through.
Yeah, so the first thing is really understanding what they're going through. And there actually is a stage with a lot of people where there needs to be acceptance because, you know, doctors don't really know about this. Most psychiatrists and psychologists don't really know about this. So there can actually be a lot of hesitation in people accepting that they're going through a deep transformative process. Mm-hmm. And so really understanding what is happening with them is the first sort of thing that I suggest. And typically for people that are going through Kundalini awakenings, the first couple of chakras are the most difficult to clear out, to work with. And so learning, either going to somebody that's really knowledgeable about the process who can kind of help you process things, as well as just kind of realizing and surrendering to the process and kind of accepting it are some of the bigger things, at least at first, that people with these huge experiences kind of need to do.
And does your book go through any of, you know, how to process some of this stuff?
It does, yeah. So specifically my book goes through at first the spiritual journey as a whole, and then it goes into the second part is all about different types of awakenings from milder to the more severe, and each section specifically has targeted exercises and understandings for people so they really can not only look at and realize what's going on with them, but also to get some help with what's going on with them.
Right. Well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to tell everybody how to get Mary's book and how to help yourself on your spiritual awakening. We'll be right back.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The name is Bond, James Bond.
No, the name is Joe, The Joe Show, and we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Host your show on iOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on iOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
And Earth Radio. And we are here on the OM Times Radio Network, bringing to you everyday spirituality. I'm here with Mary Mueller Shotan, and we're talking about her book, The Spiritual Awakening Guide. And what I'd like to do now is actually let you know where you can get her book. Her book is called, again, The Spiritual Awakening Guide, Kundalini Psychic Abilities and the Conditioned Layers of Reality. And it's published by Findhorn Press, and you can get much more information about Mary herself at maryshutan.com, and that's spelled M-A-R-Y-S-H-U-T-A-N. And Mary, do you have anything else you'd like to add, any other announcements?
Yeah, sure. So people can navigate to my website, but I do work as a spiritual healer via distance, so I work with people all over the world. As well as I do consultations for people going through spiritual experiences or struggling with psychic abilities. So if people are interested in that, they can simply go to my website and kind of check me out and send me a message if they were interested in any of that.
Sure. And if somebody is local, would you work with them as well?
Yeah, you know, I live in kind of a strange town, but if anybody's by Gilbert, Arizona, they can certainly meet me in person.
Cool. All right. Arizona's a cool place. And let's see. And I have some things for you. I just wanted to share with everybody out there. I wanted to tell you a little story. You know, many years ago when I first tried to use my intuition, I used it to try to help my career, you know, making decisions about my career and what I should do. And, you know, the only thing that happened was I became more confused. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to make my intuition happen. And much less, you know, I didn't even know whether I had intuition or whether it was working or not, even though everybody has intuition. So after I slogged through like tons of books and courses. I did some really intense research on intuition development. As again, because people do have intuition, I figured, well, let me develop my own. And I discovered some lesser known but really powerful techniques that consistently work. And I experimented and I improved these techniques. And I found I could easily access my intuition and know when my intuition was giving me an answer. And I found I could successfully use it in all kinds of situations on anything I wanted. And even in difficult times, I could make decisions using my intuition that gave me the best, and often it was like the most amazing outcomes. So what I did was I began teaching others these techniques, these intuition techniques, in a two-day course. And my students, I found, were able to easily access their intuition and make it work for them with the same kind of success. It was really cool. And I'd like to teach these techniques to you. And I've now put a sample of these simple intuition building techniques in a short series of free videos. And I'm opening them up next week on January 19th. And these videos are free for you to watch, but they're only going to be up for a couple of weeks, because after that, I'll be opening up registration for the Developing Your Intuition online class, where you can get all the techniques that I learned and teach you how to make your intuition give you amazing answers and results. And the students of the course will get all the course videos. They can watch anytime, anywhere for life. Plus, this is the only time I'll be working with students live online for 6 weeks. So if you'd like, go sign up at intuitiononly.com. That's intuitiononly.com. And get on the list to receive the videos right when they come out. And again, they're starting, they'll be free for you to look at January 19th, 2016. They'll only be up for 14 days. So go sign up and go watch them. Three awesome, awesome videos. So that's what I got for you today. So Mary, we're back. Let's go back and talk about highly sensitive people. Could you define for us what a highly sensitive person is and what kinds of things they experience that maybe others don't?
Yeah, and so a highly sensitive person, it's been kind of established that about 15% of the population, 15 to 20%, would be considered highly sensitive, which just basically means that they notice more of what is around them than other people do. So people like to use the word psychic in this kind of mystical or not practical way, and it's really sort of a practical understanding that somebody who's considered sensitive or psychic simply notices more if they were to walk in a room than other people do, or what other people would consider kind of our consensual concrete reality. And so I work with a lot of people who are struggling with being sensitive or having specific psychic abilities. And what happens is that if you walk into a room frequently and you are picking up so much stimuli, and, you know, you're part of the percentage of the population that's 15% or 5%, or maybe you're in the 1% or whatever's going on, that's a lot of stimuli to take on. And so what happens to people who are highly sensitive or who are considered psychic is that they start to develop issues with their nervous system. They start to get headaches and migraines and stomach aches, and just kind of a lot of emotional symptoms. They might not be able to kind of differentiate what is theirs versus what is outer, meaning that they might experience anger and they don't realize that it's not actually their own. It's somebody else's anger that they picked up on.
That's common.
And typically they have a lot of sleep issues. And so what is needed is a lot of understanding, of course, but also skill building. People who are already kind of already psychic or already highly sensitive, they don't need to kind of develop more abilities or become more sensitive. What they actually need to do is to learn how to manage their abilities that they always have, to cut down on overwhelm, to feel better, to, you know, to learn what they're really sensing and how they sense it and how to work with it, basically.
I have a little story. And I guess I never really thought I was highly sensitive, but I think I always have been up to a point, and then as I got older, you know, you start kind of put the adult shield up, and then you're less sensitive, but then you're not in touch with your intuition as much. So when I became more intuitively developed, then I became more sensitive again. And one of the things I noticed was what happens to me is it hits me in my stomach, and I get sick, I'm always, you know, the bathroom's got to be nearby. So, and I used to hate, that was like, you know, I always thought that was, you know, I had a sensitive stomach and I couldn't eat certain things. And I was in the airport once, and I was in the gift shop, and then I went over and I decided to sit and wait for the plane at the gate, and I start to feel sick, and I'm like, okay. And then I do the usual. I go through all the things in my head. So what did I eat today? Am I catching a cold? And all those things were negative. And I couldn't understand, why is it I'm standing over there in the gift shop and I'm feeling good, I'm feeling great. And then I come over here and I sit down, and all of a sudden I'm starting to feel sick. So, and then I realized, oh, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's something outside of me. So what I did was, my normal process is I will get up and move. When I get to that point, I'll realize, okay, it's not coming from inside me, it's coming from outside of me. Let me move and see if it changes. And so I did. I got out of my chair and I moved to the other side of, farther away from the gate, and it went away.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, so it's not me, it's who, right? It's somebody else. And then I realized, you know, the reason why I was picking up on people's nervous energy, because that way I was getting that nervous stomach. And a lot of people who fly are nervous about traveling. They're nervous about flying. And where do they sit? They sit right at the gate. I don't know why. They seem to sit right near the door.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I noticed. So I had to just kind of get up and move. But it took me a long time to figure that out. Would you term yourself as a highly sensitive person?
I would. good, yeah. So I've been pretty much highly sensitive, you know, ever since I can remember. And in my day, you know, we kind of called people like me, you know, artistic because I was an artist. So that could kind of explain what I what I sensed and saw and everything like that.
Things bother you a lot or more easily than others? Did you, you know, they say, oh, highly sensitive people cry all the time.
You know, it wasn't necessarily like that. What happened is, with my particular sensitivities, is that I have a tendency to notice really deeply in people and to question really deeply. But also, the biggest issue is that I take on people's energy. And so what would happen to me is that for a long time, I didn't understand this. And so I'd go from feeling despair to feeling really angry to feeling really happy and have no reason why. Logically, I was sick all the time, and my parents would take me to doctors for stomach aches, and I had migraines for many years, and people were like, okay, we don't know what's going on. You know, here's this pill.
Oh, gosh. So what did you do?
So it wasn't really until my early 20s that I started it was actually one of my first days of work of being self-employed, and I was so happy because I had always wanted to work for myself. I was filled with, you know, kind of the joy of, yay, I'm working for myself. And I had this man come in, and throughout the session, I just felt sicker and sicker from him. And after he left, it was basically all I could do to stop myself from throwing myself out of the window. I was just kind of filled with self-disgust and despair. And it just kind of clicked with me all of a sudden that this clearly was not mine, because I was filled with joy. And then all of a sudden, within the course of an hour of working on this person, I just felt such self-disgust and, you know, depression and wanting to.
And it was associated with this person. Is that how you knew? You know?
Yeah, and so I realized that it was coming from him, and so that was kind of my first sort of moment where I realized, oh wow, there, you know, there definitely is something going on here. And in my early 20s, I also started experiencing a Kundalini awakening, and started going through a whole process of realizing things. And in my practice, eventually what started happening is that people started coming to me without me advertising. But all of a sudden, when I'd start to work out my own stuff, more and more people would say to me, you know, like, hey, I'm really highly sensitive, or I had this really weird spiritual thing happen to me, or, you know, so I started drawing those types of people to me.
So not only are you sensitive, but you draw the same kind of people. Well, we're going to break again, and when we come back, maybe you could share with us some things that our listeners can do to help their spiritual awakening. We'll be right back.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
To read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And we are talking about the spiritual awakening experience that people are going through, or you may be going through, you may be going through and you don't know it. But Mary Mueller-Schultan is our guest, and she is the expert on spiritual awakenings. And so, Mary, I was actually looking at your book, and the book keeps opening to the same page, so I have to kind of go along with spirit and say, okay, let's talk about this. And it's interesting. I haven't prepped you on this, so, and just kind of pull it out on you. This is on page 101, and it's an exercise, peak experience meditation. And I guess are these exercises for someone who is trying to have a peak experience or have had one, or, could you talk about these exercises in the book? That was one example, and maybe we could talk about that one, and what is it used for?
Yeah, and so with I kind of separate things out in the book for more gradual awakenings versus more, I guess, what you would call severe awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the more gradual awakenings, such as feeling energy in your body for the first time, or having awareness of maybe the acupuncture channels in your body,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe even having a peak experience, meaning going out, running and feeling that kind of rush after, or, you know, skydiving, or just looking out at the night sky and realizing this sensation of something bigger than you. For people undergoing gradual awakenings, understanding is always helpful, but a lot of the experiences and exercises in the book for gradual awakenings are so people can deepen their experiences.
Oh, okay.
And so for the peak experience, it is really cultivating that sense. Like, all of us have had one place, and I talk about it in the book, where we felt like everything was in line, everything was perfect, and it could be in a cafe or out in nature or something like that, or after running or working out or something to that extent. And so the exercise in there is simply recalling it, and I go through steps on how to do this, as well as really developing that so you can experience that more in your daily life rather than that being like, oh, that great vacation that I had that one time or something like that.
Do you think it would help us experience one again?
Yeah, and so the idea of kind of spiritual awakening overall is this idea of flow. And so the closer that we get to being spiritually awakened, the more that we feel the sensation of flow. And that's part of what's so great about kind of peak experiences, or, you know, having a one-time experience where we feel something larger than us, is that we really do feel that sense of flow. We feel like something bigger than us. We may feel like everything is perfect in our lives, if only for that brief moment. And that's really the sort of flow, the sort of energy that is available to people who are going through spiritual awakenings, even if it has been a more gradual process. So we really can recall experiences like that and deepen them and help them grow.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I read through this? It's not too long.
Go ahead.
This is the exercise, I guess, a peak experience meditation. So would this be like a meditation that you would have people do? Okay, so the first step here is allow yourself to recall it. Remember the time, place, what you saw, sensed, and felt, and who was there. So that's the first step. And then the second is see yourself there, filled with the energy and realizations from that experience. The third is allow the self that you see having the experience to merge with you in your current state. Do this by taking in breaths and imagining the surroundings, the experience of the people to draw closer to you with each inhale. Then the next one is, fourth one is, let it merge and become part of you. Feel the energy settle and become a part of you at this present moment. And the last step is, do this whenever you need to remember this state in a higher state of awakening that you've already witnessed. Gradually, this experience may unfold from within you rather than be brought in. So this experience, exercise sounds like you're trying to go back and recall all the different parts of it, remember the place, time, what you saw, what you felt, who was there. Is that correct? And what's the purpose for doing this? And do you have any other words that you can add to this exercise?
So it sounds simple, but basically this exercise is intended to teach people that we basically are all awakened. We are all in a state of flow. We just have all of these barriers and restrictions and complications of our daily life. You know, we have to go to the grocery store and all that sort of stuff that has us forget this. So what meditations like this can allow for us to do is to recall states when we were more connected, when we were kind of a couple of layers in, a little bit more awakened, and realize that this energy, that this state is available to us. So although it sounds like a really simple exercise, oftentimes the most profound things are pretty simple. And when people have cultivated this, when they understand this, when they're having a really stressful time or just in general, what can happen is that they start to recall the flow of that state, the kind of freedom, the sort of sensations and realizations of that state, and can bring them into their daily lives.
Oh, that's nice. And I was just thinking about how it could also be, I think often we feel it with when you're in love, right? Or when you're with somebody that you love, or your family, if you're in that blissful state, or, you know, maybe it might even happen at the dinner table, or when you're having a conversation with a good friend. That's when I feel it. And it's not, like you said, it's not like the epiphany, like blow your socks off. It's just an everyday experience. And then being in the moment to recognize that you're having it. So are those are the kinds of things that you would use this exercise for?
For people that are experiencing gradual awakenings, yes. So people mm-hmm. who are experiencing gradual awakenings need to kind of realize, or it's helpful for them to realize, that they are in that flow state and to deepen their experiences, as opposed to somebody that's going through a more significant awakening, like a top-down awakening where they're having a bunch of energy come in through their crown, or a kundalini awakening, or a shamanic calling, or whatever is going on. Those situations are so overwhelming that they don't need to deepen their experiences. And what goes on in the book is that I talk about how to understand what awakening you're going through, and some skills to help you navigate those experiences so you can see the other side of them and come out of the state of overwhelm.
Is there a most common awakening that you've seen?
Yeah, definitely top-down awakenings.
Oh, is that right? And what's the experience in that?
So a lot of people are really interested in opening their third eye and opening their crown and, you know, Reiki and all of this sort of stuff, and it's really great. But a lot of people start to have these spiritual experiences where there's just energy coming in through their crown, through their head, and because they haven't worked on grounding or releasing any of the trauma or stuff that's in the lower chakras, they have kind of a bottleneck basically at their throat, if not a bit higher. And so people will have all of this sort of cosmic energy or universal energy coming into their heads, and it doesn't have any place to go. And so those types of people can get really out of balance, as well as get things like massive headaches and stuff like that aren't necessarily pleasant.
Okay. And so I guess there are things that you have, exercises that people can do for that, those types of experiences, that they can work with the energy and get it down and out. I have we don't have much time left, but I did want to talk quickly about sacred spaces. Do you have anything to say about sacred spaces?
So yeah, so we did talk about kind of that peak experience or going out in nature. There are definitely places on Earth that are amplified that for a lot of complicated reasons we won't get into, but they just have more more cosmic energy, more universal energy, more heightened energy, spiritual energy, whatever you want to call it, available to people.
Is it just places in nature, or you know, where are they, you know, are they, would you find it?
There are plenty that are in towns and other places. There are some places in the U.S., like Mount Shasta and Sedona, and you know, kind of places like that that are known for having a lot of energy.
What do you think about you know, I love places of worship, actually, you know, because I find the energy is just so wonderful there, and those sacred. So there are man-made sacred places as well.
Of course, yeah. And so like when I went to go to Ireland and went in some of the churches there, that definitely was incredible heightened energy.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that you say about Ireland. I want to go to Ireland. It's one of my, one of the list things on my bucket list. But Indonesia, where my husband's from, is actually a very mystical spiritual place. And you feel it when you get off the plane. You just step off the plane and you feel it. And everybody there believes, you know, they all are, we're here, you know, people look at you as like, a lot of people like, you believe in ghosts. It's hogwash, but there everybody believes. Well, we're at the end of our show. It went so fast, Mary. Thank you for being with us. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you've been listening to Between Heaven and Earth, and we were talking to Mary Mueller-Schutan and her book, The Spiritual Awakening Guide. So we are here every Wednesday. Come back right here on Om Times Radio, Between Heaven and Earth, Conscious Living for Your Soul. Angel blessings for everyone. Bye.